Grace and peace to you this day from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for this day is based on two main gospel readings. One is in Matthew 9, which we just read. Let me repeat just a small part of that, because it's at the center of our message today. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Our message is also based on closely related passages from John 4, where Jesus says this: "Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together." Jesus himself went throughout many cities and villages teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. There is much support in the Holy Scriptures that this should be a model for us also. Mark 6 tells us that Jesus called the 12 together and sent them out 2 by 2 to other towns and villages. Luke 10 tells us that on another occasion, he appointed 72 others to go out 2 by 2. To the surrounding towns ahead of him. If we were to do this in our community and those communities adjacent to us, where might we go? Are there any places around us that are ripe for harvest? A good place to start would be the very township in which our church is built, Chester Township. Where a 2020 estimate puts the population at about 10,300 people. If we went north to the city of Kirtland, we would find a population of about 6,800. Traveling east brings us first to Munson Township, and there are 6,600 people. And heading west, we first come to Gates Mills with approximately 2,200 people. Heading south to Russell Township, we would meet about 5,200 people if we counted them all. That's a little over 31,000 people. Now, I don't know, but I would be very surprised if 50% or more of them were active in a church home. And I would guess that the percentage is much less than 50%. These places I mentioned are only 10 to 12 minutes driving to come to our church. And plus, we are not limited to these adjacent areas. St. Mark has many members and visitors that come from places further away than them. The fields are white to harvest. What exactly did our Lord mean when he said the fields are white for harvest? The fields to harvest are people who need the Lord. The Holy Scriptures tell us that many are lost because they do not know the Lord and His Son, Jesus Christ. This month, as we open our doors again, I know of no better way to joyfully mark this occasion than by stressing again that we should find those who do not know the Lord and share with them the good news about the risen Christ. In today's society, at least in our country, there's nothing wrong with preaching on a street corner or going door to door. But probably not many people are brought to the Lord that way. So we need only lift up our eyes and look. If we are going to a school, there are all sorts of people that we get to know there. If we work out, we usually get to know other people at our gym or club. If we are on a sports team or golf or bowl, we get to know people there. How about our home? How about the place in which we live? We can keep our eyes open and we can stop by after people have moved into our neighborhood or community and welcome them. Maybe even take a platter of cookies or some other small gift. And we'll feel more comfortable following them up later and finding out if they have a church home. And if not, we can invite them to ours. During my lifetime, the Billy Graham Association has held two crusades here in the Cleveland area. I was available as a counselor to follow up people who came forward in response to the message at those crusades. We usually had one training session and they reached out to the churches for help. And during my last training session, the instructor shared with us something that happened as a result of the first crusade. We were being trained for the second. He told us that a certain man during the first crusade had a friend at work who did not know the Lord. And each day of the week, he invited his friend to go downtown that night with him to the Cleveland Stadium for the crusade that night. His friend declined each time. And finally, it was the last night of the crusade. And the man really put the pressure on and practically begged his fellow worker to come that last night. And the worker said that he would. Billy Graham gave his usual good message that night. But his friend did not say anything about it. So they were driving home, and the man wondered what his buddy had thought about it. So he asked him. His fellow worker carefully replied something to the effect that, well, he was a good speaker, it was interesting, but honestly, I didn't believe a lot of what Buddy said. This, of course, was a major disappointment. But it was not the end of the story. His fellow worker eventually became a Christian. And when he was asked later on what led him to Christ, he said it all started with something he had heard at a Billy Graham crusade. You see, sometimes one person sows the seed, and then the Lord sends someone else to water it. It is really the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God that brings people to faith. God only asks us to share the good news. And that is something we should keep in mind when we witness to others. There are many ways to witness, and some of them are quite easy. You can, if you wish, attend a class to be a witness for Christ. Attending a class will help you do some preparation if you have an extended witnessing experience, and it will help build your confidence. I have been blessed to attend some classes. I attended my first class right here in Chesterlin, Ohio. I still remember the vice president of General Electric speaking to us about Jesus Christ. And he shared a line that I have remembered the rest of my life. That line is, successful witnessing is sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. So what shall we share? Our gospel reading for today tells us that Jesus shared the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel means good news. The good news about Jesus. We might find that there are even more people open to listening our message today. But with this coronavirus and all that is going on. So what is the good news of the kingdom we might share? Well, people will best understand what the good news is if we can use some of God's holy word in our sharing. I would encourage you to do that in most cases. Point number one in our sharing is that every human being on earth has a serious problem. We are sinners. And we are responsible to God for our sins. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And this is a serious flaw. Because God says in the book of Leviticus, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. But a look at God's law as summed up in the Ten Commandments shows us that we are a long way from being holy. It shows us that we have broken God's law many, many times. Point number two is that despite the fact that we are sinners, God still cares for us. And He has provided a way by which we can be certain that we will be forgiven of our sins. So we share John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Point number three of my four points is optional. But if you don't share it when you're witnessing with a person the first time, down the road, I think it is important that you make sure that they understand this. Point three is, we cannot save ourselves. Many people think that we can save ourselves by the good deeds and the good lives that we live. That is not true. That is what makes Christianity different from every other religion in the world. It is God who saves His people. We don't save ourselves. He is a holy God. And His justice demands a holy sacrifice for our sins. Thus, His Son Jesus came into the world as was prophesied, lived a perfect life, and in dying on the cross, made a perfect holy sacrifice to a holy God for our sins. And point four, then, is Jesus, 3 days after He was crucified, was raised from the dead to show that He had power even over His own death. This good news is written time and time again in many ways throughout the New Testament and even in many places in the Old Testament. We can share this good news. We have been called to share this good news. It is the commission that has been given to the Christian church by Jesus Christ Himself. Don't say that you can't do it, because you can do it. There are so many different ways that we can do it. We can put together a little presentation on our own. Or we could take some of the passages today or from other passages and mark them in the Bible and share our presentation from the Bible. We can invite someone to church or a Bible study. Or we can stop and pick up a child for Sunday school or church. We can give someone a Bible, a good Christian book, a catechism, or even a pamphlet. We can give a personal testimony of what Jesus has done for us. And when we're done, ask the other person, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead you from there. Jesus is quoted in Luke 15 as saying this, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Today, we have all been reminded that our calling is to find some way to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Who will answer the call? Amen.